Look at your neighbor and say, Happy Easter. Tell them Happy Easter. We are going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus today. If you would, stand with me for the honor of reading God's word. And we're going to read out of Luke 24, Luke chapter 24. We'll read the first three verses to get us set up for the message this morning. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that today we can come and celebrate who you are, that Jesus is the Lord, the King, the ruler of all, and that death couldn't hold him, and he got up out of the grave. And so today, Father, we thank you for your amazing love, for sending your son to die for us, rising again so that we might have victory over sin and death. Help us, Lord, to take the seriousness of who you are, to understand, to look upon you, and to give you your due glory. Help me to preach plain and clear today. I do understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This Easter happens to fall on April 1st. And I can go ahead and hear the skeptics and the critics, the atheists, the mockers. On the social media, I'm sure there will be a lot of jesting and joking about this day, and it'll be a good ha-ha moment for many. And my question this morning, is Jesus a joke to you? Because I'm here to tell you this morning, on this Easter Sunday, Jesus, he's no joke. He got up out of that tomb. You see, Friday we celebrated Good Friday, and we came together and we took the Lord's Supper together. And as we think about the Lord's Supper, that Jesus had his disciples together, and he broke bread with them, and he instituted something new. And as he broke the bread, he said, "This is my body that is broken for you. When you eat this, I want you to remember me." Then he took the wine and he poured it and he said, "Drink this. This is my blood that will be poured out for you. This is the blood of the new covenant. Drink this in remembrance of me." One of the 12 that was among them slips out and goes ahead and does his deed, as he had already prearranged a price for 30 pieces of silver. He would deny and betray Jesus. Jesus takes the disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. He calls Peter, James, and John and calls them to come a little closer to them. And he says, "Watch and pray that you do not enter temptation." And he goes to the garden and he prays, as Luke tells us he often did. And as he's praying in agony of knowing what's coming his way, the disciples fall asleep, and he finds them asleep three times. And then at the sound of the marching of soldiers' feet and the clamoring of swords, there appears lit torches as they approach Jesus at night. And Judas, one that followed him for 3 years, kisses him on the cheek and betrays him. And Jesus says, "Why? Why do you come at night? Why do you treat me like a robber? You come with torches and swords like I'm a thief. And I taught in your streets in daylight. And you could have arrested me then, but you chose not to. But you come to do your deed in the dark. For that is where wickedness likes to work." And they betray Jesus. They arrest Jesus. And it brings us to Luke 22, verse 63. Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody, they were what? Mocking him as they beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, "Prophesy, who is it that struck you?" And they said many other things against him, blaspheming him. They arrest Jesus at night, take him illegally, try him illegally. They're arresting him, beating him, mocking him like it's a joke to them. Why? Because Jesus had went around teaching. He taught. He healed. He delivered. He did miracles among them. And they was known to be a prophet. So let's test this out to see if he is a prophet. Let's blindfold him and let's beat him in the face. And then let's line up and we'll ask him, "Who hit you?" If you're a prophet, you ought to know who hit you. What is Jesus a joke to them? Is this a game, some twisted, sick game that they're beating Jesus? The Sanhedrin in their court, they come, 70. Sadducees, the Pharisees, the elders, the ruling, the lawgivers, the legislation of the day come, and they want this man done away with. They try to bring some charges against him. "We've heard him say this. We've seen him do this. He said this. Who are you, Jesus? Who are you? Are you the Son of God? Do you claim to be the Son of God? You will see the Son of Man coming in the power of clouds and great glory." That's all we need. Blasphemy, blasphemy. Do away with him. And they send Jesus before Pilate. Now this is all done at night in secrecy. They take him to Pilate. "We want this man to be crucified. We want this man dead. You execute this man." Pilate doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know who this man is. He doesn't find anything wrong with him. He's stirring and making all kinds of mess. He's causing disruption and from Galilee and in Jerusalem. And when Pilate finds out that he's from Galilee, this gives him an opportunity to send him to someone else. 23 verse 6. When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. Oh, he's a Galilean. Let's let Herod deal with him. Herod was the man that was having the adulterous relationship, the one that John the Baptist, when he said, would call him out into repentance, the one that he is the one that had John the Baptist beheaded. He'd never met Jesus. This is going to be a great opportunity for Herod to meet this man that he's heard so much about, the buzz in the streets of who he is. And this is an opportunity now for him to have a conversation with this man named Jesus. Verse 8, when Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him because he had heard about him. And he was hoping to see some sign done by him. Is it a joke to him? Is Jesus to be some magician that you call in and you have performed before you for your amusement? And your applause? I'm here to tell you this morning, it's no joke. Jesus, he's no joke. And so he wants to see if he will razzle-dazzle him, perform a miraculous sign before his eyes. So he questioned him at some length. But he made no answer. Jesus made no answer. And the chief priest and the scribe stood by, vehemently accusing him. Now look at verse 11. And Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with what? Contempt. And mocked him, then arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. When Jesus would not entertain him, he mocked him. Jesus had already been beaten, his face already bloody, his beard plucked. And as they are mocking Jesus, since he claims to be a king, we notice, Jesus, that you need to be properly attired. So they take a robe and they put a robe on the back of Jesus, because every king needs a robe. Well, now that you have a robe, Jesus, there's still something missing. Every king needs a crown. We know that kings wear crowns, and the other gospels tell us that they take thorns and they make a crown of thorns that would be 3 to 5 inches in length in the thorns, and they crushed it upon his head. And so there is your crown, Jesus. Is this a joke to them? Well, a king has a mighty scepter in his hand. They put a reed in his hand. And there, picture this, our Lord, Jesus, our Lord, he's standing there being beaten, spat on, mocked, humiliated, made fun of. And I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus, he's no joke. He is no one to be laughed at, no one to mock, no one to ridicule. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Something interesting is stated in verse 12. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day. But before this, they had been at enmity with each other. It's strange how a common enemy will bring enemies together. Herod and Pilate did not get along, but because of this happening with Jesus, they were able to come together. I've been troubled this week by many things, and it amazes me about what goes on in the world. It's amazing how you see groups that really have nothing together, but that can come together because of a hatred. You take the LGBTQ community. What do they have in line with the atheists? What do they have in line with those who are interested in being pro-Islamic? One thing. They mock the name of Jesus. Disturbing this week, many things. One in particular, New York Magazine, Cosmopolitan, and Vogue. On Vogue's website, they have a story that reads this. When every individual in the room turns heads, as was the case at yesterday's Gypsy Sports Show, where the lineup included insta-famous twins, a pink-haired trans activist, and promiscuous of dreads and shaved heads along the gender spectrum, there's little chance of standing out unless, of course, you happen to cruise below an altitude at 4'3". Desmond Naples, all of 10 years old and with 26,000 Twitter followers, played video games on his iPhone while waiting for his black and white polka dot manicure for the self-styled drag kid known as @Desmond is amazing. having a 10-year-old boy dressed up like a girl, promenading him around on the runway, is our children's sexuality a joke? Is the XXXY chromosome a joke? Is that God made us male and female in the image of God? He created them both male and female. Is that a joke? Is the Bible laughable? Is it all some, do we mock it? We're upset about the violence, and we see the violence that's going on, and it's horrendous and it's horrible because we know that it's not right to kill, and we our heart breaks when we see the devastation of things that just go as what it should be. Thou shalt not kill. We all know that is wrong, and that, oh, it would be that we would have a society where there'd be no more killings. But yet, at the same time that we can say how horrible this is, every day in our nation, we are slaughtering children by ripping them out of the womb of a mother and tearing their limbs apart or sucking their brains. Is human life a joke? Is that God is the giver of life? Is that to be mocked at, ridiculed? Marriage. What a joke that's become. And we don't even have to talk about the homosexual agenda on the marriage, because we make it a joke without that, their help. 2, 3, 4, 5 different marriages. Shacked up, living with somebody. Playing house that you're not married to? Is marriage a joke? I know this isn't a typical Easter sermon. But I've been troubled. The corruption at all levels, from federal to state, rob, steal, cheat, lie. What's going on with this world? That's when I'm reminded that Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, my followers would rise up and they would fight. I could send a band of angels if I wanted to, but my kingdom is not of this world. There is a king and his name is Jesus. There is a city on the other side. There is a heaven that's coming down, and he will reign and he will rule, and I long for that day. I get tired. Are you tired? Of the sin and the sickness and the death and the disease that we see play out on our television and in our communities day after day. I feel like Abraham, he didn't long for the land in Palestine. No, Hebrews tells us he was longing for the better land, the land that from heaven. Moses, it tells us that he thought that the riches of Egypt, he cast away the riches of Egypt for the glorious riches of Christ Jesus. He was looking for that celestial city. As long as we live here, we live in a fallen, sick, depraved world. But there is coming a day when Jesus comes and makes all things new. And I can't wait for that day. I hope you're going. I hope you know Jesus is Lord, so when he comes back, that you are in him. That you haven't lived a life of mocking and ridiculing who he is. Because I'm telling you, he's no joke. They bring him back to Pilate. Pilate doesn't know what to do with him. What's he doing here again? I'll beat him, release him. No, we can't have that. He's got to die. Who are these people? This is the Sanhedrin and the people that they got together. This is all being done in secrecy. This is not the crowd that's shouting Hosanna. This is the mob. He must die. He hasn't done anything deserving of death. He calls himself a king. And anyone who sets himself up as a king is no friend of Caesar. Pilate says, well, our custom is that we release an individual. I have a murderer who is murdered, And Rob, we can either release him or I can release to you Jesus. And they say, give to us Barabbas. What do we do with Jesus? Crucify him. And so we read in verse 33, and when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you hear the compassion of our Lord? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching. Now watch this. Watch what it says. But the rulers, what did they do? They scoffed at him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers, what did they do? They also, what did they do? They mocked him. Coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. Do you see our Lord hanging in the earth, crucified on a cross, beaten, bloody, spit and blood, his flesh ripped, likely the ribs exposed because of the cat of nine tails, that the whipping and the beating that he took. Swollen. And they're mocking him. Save yourself if you're a king. If you're the chosen one of God. Was that a joke? One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, hurled insults at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. Aren't you supposed to be the Messiah? Some Messiah you are, some Christ you are. Look at you on a bloody Roman cross. Is that a joke? It was for many. It was for many. And it still is today. Hollywood. We make movies that mock his name, ridicule him. Our superstars, they hurl insults about Jesus. It's laughable, make cartoons. Wouldn't dare do that to the prophet Muhammad, but let's go ahead and let's tee-hee and ha-ha over Jesus because of all of these Christians who believe that he's a king. But, verse 40, but the other, this is the other criminal, the other rebuked him. This is the one criminal rebuking the other criminal. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God? It's a good question. Do we not fear God anymore? He says, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man, he's done nothing wrong. Now watch what he says in verse 42. This will forever change this man's life, and it can forever change your life today. And he says to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He realized that it was no joke, that Jesus indeed was the king. Though others may have been mocking him, though others may have been insulting him and blaspheming him and joking about him being a king, the criminal looks over to Jesus and says, Jesus, Would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Why? Because he believed that Jesus, in fact, was a king. This morning, have you recognized that Jesus, in fact, is a king? That he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Have you submitted to him? Have you recognized that you're hopeless, that you have no hope, that you need Jesus? This man had nothing to live for. He was dying. He couldn't do any more for Jesus. Oh, but he did such amazing things. Why? Because his story is told in sacred scripture that will go on. And today, if you hear his voice, you can call out to Jesus and say, Jesus, would you remember me? I am a sinner and I need a Savior. You are the King. I'm not. Would you redeem me? Would you save me? And you'll hear what Jesus told him. Today, you will be with me in paradise. That's called redemption, mercy, grace. Jesus was crucified about 9 a.m. See, all this trial and all this scourging and all this was done in secrecy at night, early in the early morning hours. And finally, when they're able to crucify him, they crucify him about 9 a.m. At 12, the sun refuses to shine. Darkness covers the earth. At 3 p.m., Jesus will breathe his last and say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, and he will die. Now, when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, certainly this man was innocent. And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breast. There were some that day that it was all a big joke. It was all a mockery and insult. But for others that day, it was the real deal. They realized that Jesus, in fact, was king. And there was repentance that happened. The centurion realized there's something special about this guy. He is the Son of God. There were others who were watching. They began beating their breasts and going back in remorse, thinking, what have we done? We've killed the Messiah. That's called repentance. Lord, forgive me for my sin that drove you to the cross. They take his body off of the cross and they place Jesus in a tomb. And then chapter 24, where we started reading, we began. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they had went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. He is alive. The women, they're perplexed. They don't know what's going on. And two men, dazzling white angels, they ask him, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are you coming to the graveyard? You only come to the grave to honor the dead. He's not dead. He's alive. Don't you remember when he told you that he's going to be handed over, crucified, and then 3 days later, he's going to rise again? And these women, they're in shock, perplexed. They go run and tell the disciples, Jesus is alive. We saw him. He's alive. And I'll tell you, look at how much the disciples believed this. But verse 11 says, but these words seemed to them, what? An idle tale. And they did not believe them. They thought, don't joke me now. Don't play with my emotions. This, I can't handle this. This seems impossible. Seemed like a fairy tale. Well, have you ever seen someone come back from the dead and you talk to them? No. This is one reason why I believe that, man, this just gives scripture more authenticity, right? I mean, because who's going to write a book and make themselves look that foolish. Right? If I'm going to write this, you know, and I'm telling Luke, hey, here's what happened. I'm going to say it this way. And the women came and told us that Jesus resurrected, and we all said, we absolutely knew that was going to happen because that's what he told us. But that's not what they said. They said, there's no way. There's no way. They're out fishing. And Jesus appears. Hey, boys. It's me. And they're like, what? No, they think it's a ghost. And Jesus is like, I'm not a ghost. I'm flesh and blood. Touch me. Touch me. See, here's the scars. Touch me. He's like, you got some fish up there. Fillet one of those up. Let's eat. And he eats fish and they have a fish dinner together. Because he's real. He's alive. It's not a joke. He is risen. The grave couldn't hold him. Death couldn't keep him. Jesus is the King. He's Lord of all. And he is coming back one day. I hope you know him. You have an opportunity this morning. You will be on one or two sides. You're either going to stay on the side of those who mock and make fun of who he is, or you're going to understand that he truly is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and repent and call upon him. So much of our culture thinks Jesus is a big joke. They think church is a joke. Christianity is a joke. The Bible's a joke. There was a group of individuals who thought Noah was a joke. And they laughed and they mocked. But when that first raindrop hit them on the forehead, they realized it's no joke. I'm telling you this morning, Jesus, he's no joke. He is the sovereign King and Lord over all, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. We will be held accountable. And if you refuse to believe in the name of Jesus, you will be cast away from all eternity because you have mocked, ridiculed, and belittled the name of the Most High. Is it a joke? Or is he real? This morning, you choose which side you stand with. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that you loved us, that you were willing to be humiliated, beaten, bruised, mocked, scorned, so that we might be forgiven. Jesus, may everyone here this morning realize it's not a laughing matter. You're not a joke. You are the true King of all. And may we worship you, Lord. Father, this morning, would you just move in people's hearts, Lord? There may be some this morning that it's been a joke to them. And today they realize who you are. Would you empower them to step out and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Would you remember me in your kingdom? Lord, for those of us who know you and we've been forgiven, may we give you the praise and the glory and the honor that you fully deserve. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.